therefore, this evening that is being sponsored by the Elite High School and is basically a fundraiser for them is something that all of us should be involved in, because it is literally the future of these children and their children and their grandchildren. It's a great schus for me to be up here in the Achiezer building to follow Rabbi Reisman. All of you tonight who are here, I thank you for staying. And all around the country where everybody is watching, I thank you for staying as well. As I said, it's a great honor to follow Rabbi Reisman. I once had this opportunity once before on a Labor Day weekend. They had what's called Hakel or Yarchei Kala. Rabbi Reisman was supposed to be the first speaker and I was going to be the second one. But you know, my schedule changes every week because all of you know that I'm a moel. And I had a bris that morning. So I said to Rabbi Reisman, do you mind if I take your place and I'll speak first? So Rabbi Reisman said, that's okay with me as long as I don't have to take your place and do the bris. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra Chesamet Beis, Umatzdike harabim kakoichovim li oilam voed. Who are the stars of a generation? Every one of us in every generation needs a star. A star is somebody that you look up to. A star is somebody that you want to follow. A star is somebody that sheds light on a kehillah, on Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us who are the real stars of a generation. It is those melamdei tinoika, is those who teach others Torah. The Rebbes in Klal Yisrael, the Rebbes in Elite High School, the Rebbes all over the country, all over the world. The Moras, the parents who teach their children Torah, they are the real heroes. And based on the Mashah, I want to explain to you why I believe the Gemara is explaining to us why the Rebbeim, the great Rosh Hashivas, the great Moras who teach Torah, why they are the true stars. You see, tonight on a clear night, you can go outside and you'll see a star. You look up in the sky, you see the stars. But in the daytime, you can't see the stars. But if you have a brain in your head, you know the stars are up there in the sky. You just can't see them. And that's what a great Rebbe and a great Mora is. A great Rebbe is somebody who makes such an impression on a child that long after you can't even see the Rebbe, the boy is no longer in class. And it could be the Rebbe is already in the Olam HaEmes. But years later, when that boy has to make a decision, what school should I go to? Who should I marry? What neighborhood should I live? What job should I take? What shul should I daven in? He's going to think, what would my Rebbe have said? What would my Mora have said? What would my Rosh Hashiva have said? That's a star. Because a star is there even if it can't be seen. And that's what a great Rebbe is. And you know, it's Matzah Shabbos and it's a time to tell great stories. So this has nothing to do with the speech, but it's a great story, so I want to tell it to you. Because it has to do with a great star. A great Mechanech. Some of you may remember, his name was Rabbi Menachem Weldler. And he was a Rebbe for many, many years in New York. He was in Washington Heights for a while. And he was in Tiferes Moshe in our neighborhood in Queens, in Kew Gardens. And I remember when he passed away, an interesting thing happened during the Shiva, and the family called me. They told me that they got a letter from a man who was in his 50s. And he said, this man who's writing the letter was telling what kind of great Rebbe this Rabbi Menachem Weldler was. And he said, I remember, this is going back, he says, almost 40, 50 years. And I was a little boy, I was in the first grade. And it was the first day that we were going to get our chumashim. And Rabbi Weldler came into the class, and he said to the boys, don't open up your chumash yet. And he took an orange, and he had every little boy in the class smell the orange. Well, you smell the orange, and then the Rebbe took the orange and he cut up slices of the orange and he gave everybody a slice of the orange. And he said, now boys, we're going to make the bracha Bori Priyo Eitz and we're going to taste the orange. And we all tasted the orange. And then the Rebbe said to us, tell me, what was better, the taste of the orange or the smell of the orange? And everybody said, of course, Rebbe, the taste of the orange. So the Rebbe said, until you opened up your chamashim kindalach, you were only able to smell the Torah. From today on, when we open up the chumash, you'll be able to taste the Torah. And he said, that day we all, as first graders, felt that we had just eaten the fruit from Gan Eden. It made such a roishim on us. So I was so impressed and I was grateful that they called to tell me this story. And a few months later, I got a call from a friend of mine who's a first grade Rebbe. And he says to me, Rabbi Krohn, could you please come and speak to the first grade? I said, what are you talking about? I can't speak to first graders. I can speak high school to adults. You know, everybody's got to know what he can do. I can't speak to first graders. He says, come on, Rabbi Krohn, you can do anything. I said, what are you talking about? What do you want me to speak about? He says, we're giving out our chamashim the first day to the kids. And I need you to come and give an introduction. I said, okay, if you want me to come, then you got to do exactly what I say. He says, what's that? You got to get, how many kids you got in the class? 20. You got to get me 20 oranges. He says, what are you talking about? He says, I said, you want me to speak? You got to do what I say. Fine. So I do the same shtick, right? I come into the class and I tell the kids, you know, I want everybody to smell the orange and then they want to taste the orange. And then I told them like this, you know, I have to say something, you know, sorry, an introduction. So I said, isn't it interesting that every Sefer Torah in the world, every Sefer Torah in the world, there's always black ink on white parchment. Wherever you go in the world, Mexico, Switzerland, Eretz Yisrael, Russia, wherever you got a Sefer Torah, why is every single Sefer Torah the exact same? Black ink on white parchment. So I said, you know why? Because the Medrash tells us that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when he's writing the Torah, he should write it black fire on white fire. That's what the Medrash says. That Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah black fire on white fire. And all the kids are shaking their heads and they're really into it. And I'm thinking, you know, the Rebbe's right. I can do anything. Look at these kids. They're really into it. Until came Shabbos. Shabbos, there was a bar mitzvah in the neighborhood and I was sitting and talking with the Rebbe. And one of the cute little boys comes over to say good Shabbos to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says to the little boy, you recognize the man who's sitting next to me? He says, yeah, that's Rabbi Krohn. He came into our class and he spoke to us. I said, wow, you remember me. What was I talking about? He says, Rabbi, you were talking about black oranges on white fire. So I thought that would be the last time that I would speak to first graders. But anyhow, in all seriousness, we've come tonight to speak about stars, to speak about the Gedolim of the past. Because I believe that if we learn about the Gedolim of the past and we absorb it in our present, we can prepare ourselves for the future. And that's why over the last number of years, I have had the great schus to take a trip to Europe. We've gone to different parts of Europe. One of my dearest friends, Avram Rubin, is sitting right here in the audience here in Brooklyn. He's gone with me on every single trip. I appreciate your friendship and your loyalty. There's people watching all over the country, different people, Itchy Deutsch and others, who have come on these wonderful trips. And we have gone to places to learn about the Gedolim. And tonight I'm going to take you on this trip. I'm going to take you on a trip that we took to Frankfurt, to Prague and Vienna. And we are going to learn about certain Gedolim. And we are going to hear great insights in their life. And we are going to hear stories about them. And every story is something that if we learn about them and apply it to ourselves, we can prepare for the future. And the reason that I decided to speak on this topic is because that's what Elite High School is all about. Taking kids, giving them the Masaira of the past to prepare them for their future, that they should be Erlecha Yidna B'nai Torah. It's the past, the present, and the future. That's what this speech is about. That's what Elite High School is all about. So let's start out in Germany. And people ask me, how in the world could a Yid go back to Germany? We went to Frankfurt 2 years ago, and people said, that's Gehenna itself. How can anybody go to that country? And the reason is, because as a fellow, Eli Slamowitz from ENS Tours, he's the one who organizes this whole thing, and he told me it's the 900th yard site of Rashi. The 900th yahrzeit of Rashi, and Rashi learned in a Beis Medrash in Germany, in a place called Worms, W-O-R-M-S. As a matter of fact, I have a very close friend who lives not far from here. His name is Yaakov Solomon. And Yaakov told me that he was once speaking with his children at the Shabbos table. And he said to his children, he said to his 10-year-old boy, he said, do you know when Rashi lived? He said, yeah, of course I know when Rashi lived. He said, you know when Rashi lived? He said, yeah, from 1040 to 1105. He said, how did you know that? He said, because that's when we have recess. So nobody's going to ever forget that. Rashi lived during recess, 1040, 1105. I don't know if the Rambam lived during lunchtime. That I don't know. But I know that Rashi lived during recess, 1040 to 1105. So now when you come into that town, we began speaking about Rashi. Now, what does the word Rashi stand for? Most of us understand that Rashi stands for Rab Shloima Yitzchoki. He was Rab Shloima, the son of Rab Yitzchok. As a matter of fact, if you look in the first Rashi, which we're going to talk about in a moment, he quotes, it starts, Amar Rab Yitzchok. Some people say that that was his father. Others say it's not. But whatever it is, he was Rab Shloima, the son of Yitzchok. But you know what else Rashi stands for? Reishin Yud, Rabon Shel Yisrael. Rabban Shel Yisrael means the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly what he was. And it's very, very interesting. Because the first Rashi, as we said, begins with an Aleph. Rashi's commentary begins with an Aleph. Omar Rab Yitzchok. Now, I'm not going to test anybody, but does anybody know what the last word in Perish Rashi is in the whole Torah? Rashi's commentary, not the last word in the Torah. We all know La'ena Kol Yisrael is the last word in the Torah. Avram, don't cheat. Don't open the Chumash. But okay. But anyway, but if you take a look at the last Rashi, Rashi is talking about and he's explaining how Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he thanked him for breaking the Luchas. You can all take out your Chumash, Mr. Rosenblum, take out your Chumash, and you'll see, Yasha Koyach Sheshibarto. I thank you for breaking it. So what is the last letter in that word? Tov. So Rashi's commentary begins with an Aleph, Omar, and it ends with a Tov to show us that everything that you want to know about the Torah, it's all in there, Rashi. Rashi is Rabban Shel Yisrael. You know, when you walk into that town of Worms, I wanted to see if this is really true. You know, there's that famous story, what happened when Rashi's mother was expecting. She hadn't had children in a very, very long time, and it was a great simcha. And she was walking down a very narrow street. And as she was coming down the street, she looked like a Yiddish lady. There was a horseman that wanted to knock her over. And he started coming down. There's not much room to move in that street. And what happens is she leaned against the wall and the wall caved in. The wall, it became like a semicircle. And you go there and that wall is there. It's a long brick wall and a long narrow street. And there is a concave there. And of course, there was a lady on the trip, Mrs. Zindelbach from Lakewood, that was on the trip. And I said, why don't you pose right in there, because you're expecting a baby. And if you have a boy, you'll name him Rashi, I'll be the Moyo. And she said, that's great. And of course, she had a girl. But the point is, that story, and the Shaila is really, Rashi was not born there. He was born in a place, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Troyes, T-R-O-Y-E-S in France. Well, how do you say it? Okay, whatever. Okay. But Rashi was... How did Rashi get there if his mother was expecting? And the answer is, being that she didn't have any children, and this was the first pregnancy, and she was afraid everybody would talk about this nest, this miracle, that she was saying there would be an Ayin Hara. So she went to a town where nobody knew who she was, and that's where she had the child. Others say that the story happened to Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid when he was born. But either way, the wall is there. But I want to tell you two things that we can apply to our lives about Rashi. And one of them I heard from Rav Nissen Wolpin. Many of you know Rav Nissen Wolpin, the wonderful writer, the editor of the Jewish Observer. And he said something remarkable. He told a story that happened many, many years ago in Tervadas. He was a Talmud, he was learning by Rav Palm. And they were learning by Rav Palm, and it was 5 to 1, recess began at 1 o'clock. Okay, in Tervadas at that time, not at 10:40, but whatever. But anyway, so it began at 1 o'clock. Now, 5 to 1, Rav Palm opens, you know, he's giving a shiur, and he starts a big toisvis. And all the kids, their mouths are dropping over. What are you talking about? How are you going to start this toisvis? There's only 5 minutes left. Now, Rav Palm was a very perceptive person, and he sees these guys, their jaws dropped open, like, how's he going to finish this toisvis in 5 minutes? So Rav Palm said, Rav Isa, I want to tell you something. He said, take a look in Bava Basra, all the Talmidei Chachamim here will know. You take a look in Bava Basra, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, right in the middle of commentary of Rashi, it says like this, Ad Kan Pirish Rashi, till here is the commentary of Rashi, Mikan Ve'elach, from here is now the Pirish of Rashbam, which of course was the grandson of Rashi. Now, because Rashi passed away in certain, and there's Chois, it says over there, Kan Meis Rashi. So Rav Palm said, why is that in our Gemara? So you take a look, it's amazing. Here's where Rashi died. Only till here is where you have his commentary. From here starts the Rashbam, and anybody who learned Cheska Sabbatim or the rest of Bava Basra knows that Rashi is very concise. Rashbam is very lengthy. It's a totally different commentary. Who put that in there? Why is it there? And Rambam taught us a great lesson. And he said, Rashi certainly knew. He was a great Talmud Chacham, a great Tzaddik. He fasted 613 Tanesim before he started writing his Perish on Chumash. So he certainly knew just about when he was going to pass away. So why didn't he spend the last day saying goodbye to everybody? He should have finished at the end of Lo Yachbar. He finishes his commentary and says his goodbyes and get his life in order. No. Rashi was going to write until the last second of his life. Rashi was going to learn Torah until the last minute. Even if it meant stopping in the middle of a perek of Cheskes Habatim and being in the middle of a sugya. Because when it comes to Liman HaTorah, you don't stop for anything. You have to do it as long as you can possibly do it. That's what Rav Palm said. So he said, don't worry, boys, you're going to get to recess. And I'm not going to take away any of your time. But we're going to learn to the last minute. Because that's what an Erlich HaYid does. He learns and he writes his commentary and he learns Torah until the very last minute. Then I told him one more thing before we started dancing and singing songs of Torah and that wonderful, wonderful Beis Medrash in Worms. It's a very interesting pasuk. All of us will daven it tomorrow. We daven every day in the Halalukas. And these two psukim, I have them now underlined in my siddur, and it's not a bad idea to underline these things in your siddurim so that every time you daven it, you think about it. Because it's such an important lesson in life. In the Halalukas it tells us, Haroife lishvure lev umachave shlatzvoisam. Haroife lishvure lev means Hashem is the healer of those who are brokenhearted. Umachave shlatzvoisam, and he binds up those that are sorrowful, those that are sad. Fine, that's a wonderful, special quality that the Rabbeinu Shalom has, that he heals the brokenhearted. The next pasuk seems to have no connection whatsoever. Means Hashem counts the stars, he gives names to every star. So fine, so what in the world has it got to do with the previous pasuk that Hashem heals the brokenhearted? So a young fellow in Muncie, I forget his name, I think it's Rabbi Ben-Nun. I don't remember. If any of you ever see this guy, Rabbi Ben-Nun in Muncie, you ask him if he's the one who told me to pshat, because he deserves the credit for it. Listen to what he was medayik in Rashi, and we're going to learn a great lesson for all of us. Rashi tells us, in the beginning of the Torah, in Bereshis Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayasa Lekim Eshnei HaMa'oris HaGadolim, Hashem made the two great luminaries. Es HaMa'or HaGadol, the big one, that was the sun, to dominate the day, right? And L'mashel HaSayim, Ves HaMa'or HaKotin, the little one, the moon, L'mashel HaSalayla. Then at the end of the Pasuk, it says, Ves HaKachavim, and the stars. So Rashi is wondering, why didn't it say Hashem made the sun, the moon, and the stars? It talks about the sun, and explains, it talks about the moon, and then it just sticks in at the end, Ve'esak Echavim. So Rashi says, Al Yedei Shemiyat Asalavona, being that Hashem minimized the Lavona, we know that the moon was made smaller than the sun, so the moon felt bad. Here Betzvo'eha, Hashem gave it a legion, gave it stars, get the moon, the moon would feel like a general, he's got a lot of stars that are smaller than him. And so therefore the moon is kind of the ruler, lahof is data, to make the moon feel good. So what was the only reason why stars were created? To make the moon feel good, right? Oh, now we'd see the pshat. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who heals the brokenhearted? And he binds up those that are sorrowful? Oh, because my name is HaKadosh. Because Hashem made the stars, and he made each one choshev to make the moon feel special. So you look around this room here tonight, and in every room where this is being webcast, from Great Neck to New Haven to California, wherever, there are many people that are brokenhearted in this room. Many people looking for shidduchim. Many people looking to have children. Many people to find a job. Many people that are lonely. Yisoyimim and almonos. Do you ever call them? Do you ever read a shidduch to them? Do you ever try to be mechazik them, make them feel special? What about those that have less money than you and less talent than you? Haroife l'shvure leiv, one of the most important things that we can do in this universe is be machazik other people. There are many broken-hearted people out there in Klal Yisrael. You have to think about yourselves. What are you doing to make other people feel good? You can't solve every problem. But you have to make two or three people your personal project and try to be machazik them and invite them for Shabbos and give them a call. And try to reach Yiduchim. And if they have a problem, listen to them. You have to be a good listener. That's part of chesed. That's part of understanding. And when you're that, then that's what Rashi is teaching us. That's what we learned. That's what we learned in Worms. We learned not only to learn to the last minute as Rashi did, and everybody undertook, would try to learn the Chumash and Rashi every week because from Aleph to Tav, it's all there. But more important than anything else, Haroifei L'Shvurei Lev, that's what Rashi saw in the Torah when he saw the Pshat with the stars. From there we went, when we stayed in Frankfurt, we went to a kever of a great tzaddik. A tzaddik that I very much wanted to go to, because I feel that Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, in a sense, was the father, in a sense, of many things, but certainly of Feldheim and Otscroll. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch was the first one who wrote Torah in the language of the people in a most magnificent way, in a sophisticated way, in a way that inspired so many people. He wrote the 19 letters, the Chayyim, the commentary that he wrote on Chumash, of course. And so therefore, we went to his kever. And as we were there, I wanted to tell people a tremendous word. I know in certain of the shuls, they have the Aseres HaDibrois. And I want to tell you a great word that Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch said. What is the fifth one? We know there's five on one side, five on the other side. So the fifth one, with the first five, Abein Adam L'Mokim, between Hashem and man. Hashem and man. And the second one's Abein Adam L'Chaveira, between man to man. So I understand the first one, Anoichi, Hashem says that he is the Hashem, the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. And then Shabbos is also within the first five, so that's between God and man. The second five, Lo Sitzach, you're not allowed to murder, Lo Signav, you can't steal, so that's Bein Adam L'Chaveira. But the fifth one on the right side, the fifth one is Kabinet Sabicha Besimecha. So how is Kabinet Sabicha Besimecha Bein Adam L'Mokai? No matter how great your father or mother were, they're only human. Everybody's human. So how, by honoring your parents, why is that considered Bein Adam L'Mokai Meskav Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch? And the lesson that we can all learn tonight from Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch is a fabulous lesson in parenting. And he says the reason that the Torah told us that we have to honor our parents is not because the parent gives food for the child. Every person, every guy in the street, every father, every mother is going to provide for their children. Every father is going to provide clothing and shelter for a child. Even an animal prepares food for its offspring. What is the purpose of parents, and why do we give kavod to parents? Because parents connect us to the previous dar, to the Messiah of the previous dar, all the way to Har Sinai. That's the essence of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, parenting, the reason that we honor our parents, because they are the ones that bring us back to the Messiah. Oh, if that's the case, that's Bein Adam L'Mokai. That's what the role of parenting is. Not only to buy a car for your kids, not only to provide for them food and shelter, of course that. But it's much more than that. You have to be the father and mother of a child that prepares them and connects them all the way back to Har Sinai. And sometimes if parents don't do that, that's where the school comes in. That's where elite high school comes in. That's where the great Rebbe and the Mora comes in. Because you have to be, that's that father. Bonecha elu tamidecha. Your children, your talmidim, that's the real children. So every one of us has to know when we go home tonight, and we're going to see the children, the first thing you're going to tell them, not, oh, how come you stayed up so late? Tell them you heard a great story tonight. You learned something good. If you didn't learn it from me, you maybe learned it from Rabbi Reisman. But whatever, you tell them over a vort. Tell them something special. Tell them something special about Torah and Yerushalayim. That's what parenting is all about. That's why Kavod HaZavicha, according to Rabbi Shamshon Fol Hirsch, is on the right side, Bein Adam L'Mokai. Now he was very machped, as we know, the German people are very machped in Ehrlichkeit. He said a Yid has to be a kosher a Yid and a Yashadik a Yid. Kosher means kosher, right? With Bein Adam L'Mokai. But you have to be Yashadik, you have to be Ehrlich in business. You have to be Ehrlich in business, honesty. Not cheating on a deductible. Not cheating on taxes. You want to hear a story that I told about Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch at his kever? He was so ehrlich, he was so honest. Listen to what he told his family. He realized he was sick and he was going to pass away. So he wrote, he said, listen, he gets paid, he said, quarterly. So he says, if he dies in the middle of the quarter, he wants they should prorate his salary. And when he dies, they should take off that amount of money that really is not coming to him, because if he died in the middle of the quarter, so that money is not coming to him. So therefore, then he should give it back. You know, when he passed away, you won't believe it. December 31st. Only a Yekki could do that. Right? December 31st. Exactly. Finished. New slate. Right, Calvin? Isn't that amazing? Amazing. But I'll tell you another thing. I remember once we were at a good convention. There's a wonderful set of Svarim It's written in English, but they're Sifrei Kodesh, Rav Schwab's speeches. And one of these speeches that he spoke about, the Aguda Convention, he spoke about honesty and integrity. And he says like this, from our discussion, we must draw the conclusion that those who resort to cheating, trickery, dishonesty and fraud, gezel, sheker, and you know, while they sometimes may have the outward appearance of being God-fearing Jews, in fact, they are irreligious. And what he said was that the New York Times is wrong, because sometimes the New York Times writes that this guy is an Orthodox guy and he was cheating on his taxes. Or he's cheating in business. And he says the New York Times is wrong because he's not Orthodox. What makes him Orthodox? Because he looks Orthodox? No such thing. You don't look Orthodox, you act Orthodox. So if somebody's cheating and he's not Erlach and he's robbing, whether from Yidden or from Goyim, he's not Orthodox. He's not honest. That's what Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch was talking about. Being Erlach, kosher and yosher. When you stand at that caver and you see this is what this person stood for, you come back with a different attitude. And that's a different attitude that we have to begin tonight. We have to know there's no such thing as stealing from Goyim and Gezel Akum. Besides the tremendous Chil Hashem, Rav Palm always used to talk about it. But I want to talk about one more thing. We spoke about Kibbutz Av by Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch, and we spoke about being Erlach. And I want to speak about this, and I've told this many times, and if I live to be 160, I'll tell it 1,000 times. Because I think we all have to change. You know what Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch? He married a girl that was older than him. And people asked him, how can you marry a girl that's older than you? Listen to what he said. He said, because of what I have to accomplish in life, I can't marry a child. Imagine that. He was in his mid-20s, and he went out with a girl 4 years older than him. 4 years older than him, and he married her. And I believe that that's really how it should be today. Guys should be looking for girls that are older than them. Because those girls in their 20s, or whatever, 2-3 years old, they're more mature, they're more settled, they're more financially viable already. Why, Dafka, those 19-year-olds who first come back from Eretz Yisrael, they all think they're Rachel Imenu? It's got to be deprogrammed, some of them, right? I know the 19-year-olds are going to hate me, but we'll get to it. But the idea is, so I told over this thing at a Torah Masorah convention. My slot that particular year was for Shalosh Shudas, there were 700 women there. Many of them, obviously, single girls, teachers. And I spoke about that. It's important that guys should know age doesn't make a difference, 2-3 years, one way or the other. I'm not telling you to marry a girl 30 years older. You know, nobody should marry their grandmother. I'm not talking about that, right? But I'm talking about a few years old, there's no difference. So if after that speech at the Torah Masorah convention, a lady from Lakewood calls me up, and she says to me, Rabbi Kron, I want to thank you for the shidduch you made in my family. I said, listen, you know, I'm a busy guy. I'm involved in a lot of things. But I know the stuff I'm involved in. I don't ever remember speaking to you. She says, you didn't speak to me. I said, so how did I make the shidduch? She said, I'll tell you what happened. I came home from your speech. I never went to a Torah Masorah convention before. I came home from your speech because I'm a mechaneches, and my son was read to shidduch to a girl that's older than him. Now, I never would have entertained it, except I heard your speech, and then I heard that this girl is a direct descendant of Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch. Mom is straight down. So I said, oh, that's impossible. I can't believe Hashem made it that I should hear your speech, and this girl, direct descendant of Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch, we read the shidduch. Fine. 3 weeks later, they were engaged. I got letters from the chosim, from the kala, back and forth. Oh, boy. So now I had armor. So then when it came to Michael Rothschild's Chofetz Chaim, you know, the Tisha B'Av video, and there 50,000 people saw that. So, of course, I told this story. Since then, without exaggeration, 27 different people have called me and told me that they married older girls. And you can't believe how many men came out of the closet to tell me, you know, my wife is older than me, except I never told anybody. So I'm not going to ask by a raise of hands, right? But the idea is, Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch showed us that age is not a factor. That's not what's important. What's important is maturity. What's important is seichel. So we learned 3 things with Rav Sham Shufrol Hirsch. We learned what Kibbutz Av is all about. We learned what honesty is all about. And we learned what marriage is all about. I want to share with you a great incident that happened on this trip. We went to a shul in Frankfurt. You have never, ever in your life seen a shul like that. It is so beautiful. It is so magnificent. You take a look at this beautiful Aron Kodesh here. It must be, without exaggeration, 4 times the size of this. It is so beautiful, and the shul is a block by a block long. And of course, I knew that we would be going to that shul. I had never seen it before. We come inside, and I had a whole talk getting ready to speak about tefillah, and we had a young Talmud Chacham with us, literally a next-door neighbor of mine. His name is Rabbi Ephraim Tannenbaum, a tremendous, brilliant young man. and he spoke Divrei Torah at the different Gedolim, at the Kvarim of the different Gedolim. And just as I'm about to get up to speak, he says, take a look what it says on the Aron Kodesh. Now usually, it says, Piskuli Shari Tfila, you know, Piskuli Shari Tzedek, or it says something about Tfila, Banis Tfila. It says something about Tfila. On that Aron Kodesh said the most unusual thing. It said, Loi Omos Kiyechya. I will not die, but I will live and I will tell the glory of Hashem. And I looked at that and I couldn't understand, why is that up there? And there was a local fellow there. I said, why is that up there? And then he told me, you know why? Because this was the only shul that survived. This was the only shul that survived. Because the lieutenants, the Germans, the Nazi generals, they lived on that block. So when the whole Frankfurt was being bombed, all the areas where Yidden lived, they didn't allow that street should be bombed. So this shul survived. That's why they put up that sign, Loi Omos Ki Echya. Loi Omos Ki Echya. So when I saw that and I understood that, I decided on the spot to change my speech. And I wanted to tell them an unbelievable story. An unbelievable story that I heard all the women that are here, certainly in Brooklyn, all knew one of the greatest women that Klal Yisrael was zeicha to have in the last 100 years, and that was Rebbetzin Zahava Bronstein, Allah Shalom. Rebbetzin Bronstein, I had the opportunity many, many times to speak on the same podium together with her. And when I would see her in Camp Shira, she once told me this magnificent story. One of her children had gotten married, and they were going to make a Sheva Brachas, and they wanted Rav Shlomo Freifeld to be at the Sheva Brachas. But he was not well already. And Rav Shlomo Bronstein, Yibolo Chaim, and Rav Shlomo Freifeld were close friends. So they decided they're going to make it in Rabbi Freifeld's house. So they were in the kitchen there, and he was sitting at the head of the table. And at that Sheva Brachas, he told over this story. And he said like this. He said, the Kotzker Rebbe once went traveling, and he went into a little cheder. And he was faharing, he was testing the little boys on what they were learning. So he's testing the little boys, and he says, boys, where are you holding? He says in Yiddish, of course. They said, Rebbe, we just finished Parshas Bereishis. Not the Chumash Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis. So he said, okay, Kindalach, you know, each one say a pasuk. So the little boy opened up the pasuk, and you could look it up in Bereishis, hey, pasuk Aleph. Little boy said, Vayechi Adam, Adam Ad Gilev. It says, yeah, how have lived, how many years? Vayomos, and Ez Gishtarvin. And the Vayechi Shase lived, says how many years he lived, and then he died. He said, that's not how you say the Pasuk. The kid didn't understand. I mean, that's exactly how the Rebbe Teiched it. He said, no, say again. So he asked another boy. He said, another boy said the same thing. Vayechi Adam Ad Gilev. He said with sing song, Adam lived, and you know how many years he lived, and he died. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, that's not how you say it. So the little boy, even the Rebbe was wondering, well, how do you say this Pasuk? Listen to what the Kotzker Rebbe said. This is what Rav Shlomo Freifeld told over. He said, this is how you say the pasuk. Vayechi et galept. Vayomos es gestorben. Vayechi et galept. Vayomos es gestorben. And then Rav Freifeld said a genius word. He said, that's the pshat in pasuk. Loi omos ki echya. Loi omos ki echya. Ki doesn't only mean because, ki means while. Loi almost, I will not live a life of death. Ki echya, while I am alive. There are a lot of people that live lives of death while they're alive. They don't accomplish anything. They wake up, they daven, they go to sleep, they wake up, eat, go to sleep, go to work. Don't do anything for anybody. Don't do anything for Klal Yisrael. Loi almost, don't live a life of death. Ki echya, while you're alive. You got to accomplish every day. You got to think of the problems of other people. Rav Chaim Volozhin, in the beginning of the Nefesh HaChaim, his son writes that his father used to tell him three words. Loi la'atzmai nivra. You are not created for yourself, or you should become rich or famous. You're created, you got talents. Everybody here has talents. Right? Some can make flowers, right? Some can be artists. I see everybody. So, everybody has a talent. And if everybody has a talent, you use it for the sake of other people. That's what you were created for. You were created to take your talents and do for other people. Loi almost ki echya. What a great lesson that is. And that's what I told them. We see that sign on the shul, Loi almost ki echya. A person has to know you're a part of Klal Yisrael. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to take a chance with Rabbi Braun. Rabbi Braun is involved in real estate. That's his parnasa. He did not have to start Keren Tiferes Yisrael, but he saw a need. He saw that nobody, there not enough was being for Russians. I shouldn't say nobody. Not enough was doing for Russian. So he opened up a kollel for Russian fellows, and after he did that, the gedolim encouraged him, you got to do for the kids also, not only for the married fellows. So here's a man who devotes hours and hours and hours every day. I was in the office, I couldn't believe it. Hours every day to elite high school, to help the future of children. And he's got a great rapport with his kids. You should see how they hug him and how he embraces them. So if you have that talent, you got to get involved with kids in the neighborhood. If you don't have that talent, you have other talent. But lo yomos ki yechik, you have to do something with Klal Yisrael. You can't just make money. That's not what it's all about. When a person's on his deathbed, he's not going to think, oh, I should have made that other commission. That's not what you're going to think about. You're going to think about, oh, I should have spent more time with my children. I should have taught the other kids in the neighborhood and try to save some of these kids. That's what you're going to think about. That's the pshat lo yomos ki yechik. We went to Prague. Prague is the most magnificent town. Such rich Yiddish history. You daven in the shul of the Maral. You know who else daven in that shul? The Neidi B'Yehuda, the Klei Yoker, the Shloha Kodesh. Such great tzaddikim. You daven in the daven zech chanzich alein. To be in that heiliger shul. So one of the people who was there, who lived in Prague many years ago, was the Klei Yoker, Rabbi Ephraim Lenschitz. This is a direct descendant of his, who's a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. He lives just a few blocks from here where we're speaking in Brooklyn. So the Klei Yoker is a marvelous, marvelous commentary on the Torah. I want to share with you two or three things that he says. That as we were standing outside one of the shuls in Prague, we said this because there's so much to learn from it. But the first thing that I wanted to share with everybody is Mamish, you could almost say is an adorable pshat that the Klei Yoker writes, and it's not a bad idea for us to incorporate it. You know, it says in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Yutes, Hashem was very angry at Adam HaRishon after he did the chait, and he said to him, Bezeyas apecha toicha lechem. Bezeyas apecha, in the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. In other words, panos is not going to come easy. All of us know it's not easy to make a living. You have to work very hard, and it all goes back to that curse that Hashem gave to Adam HaRishon. So listen to this, what the Klei Yoker says, and you can almost say it's adorable. He says, Yeshmach mikan, we have a raya from these words. L'divrei haroifim, that which the doctors tell us. Shekoidim kol achila, before you start eating, tzorich ha'odom lasik be'ezim locham chamemes says, Bala, you got to get on the treadmill, you got to do some exercise, you got to build up a sweat. That's the pshat, b'zeyas apecha, with sweat, oh, teich alechem. You got to work out a little bit. Right? It's not a bad idea. And you know what I'm thinking? I can't get over this. You know why I can't get over this, Klei Yoker? Not only because it's a cute pshat in the pasuk, but look at the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is angry at Adam HaRishon, right? He's cursing him. You're going to now have to work so hard. But you know, I really love you. Get some exercise so you live as long as you can. It's all in the pasuk. B'zeis ha'pecha, toich ha'lechem. That's how the Klei Yoker understands it. But you know, the Klei Yoker tells us something, and many people lately have been doing this, and it's a wonderful thing to do. And especially as a moel, many times I tell this over to people. The Klei Yoker writes that when somebody comes to a bris, that's the time to be mispalel. I remember I had a bris once in Kew Gardens many, many years ago. And Rav Shmuel David Walken, he was the sandik, and he was crying. As I was doing the bris, he was crying, holding this baby. It was a Russian child, an eight-day-old baby, a Shabbos bris. And I thought that maybe he knows the family or something. I couldn't understand why he's crying like that. So after the bris, I went over to him. I said, Rav Wolkin, are you related to the family? Like maybe he knew who the baby was going to be named for. He said, no. I said, so well, why were you crying? He said, you don't know? I said, no. He showed me at the back of Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph. There's a parish called by Rabbi Leo Gutmacher. And he writes like this. He quotes the Klei Yoker, which is the Oilos Ephraim. And he says that when some yechaven kol adam al tzayroisav be'ez b'chiyanima, when a person comes to a bris and the moel makes the cut and he says alamila, at that point that cry goes straight up to Shemayim, and obviously the baby has no averis, he has no sins, so that tefillah goes straight to Shemayim. So you should include your tefillah because it's going to go straight to Shemayim with the cry of the baby. And he says, Kol ze oila, this voice of yours goes up without any klipas, without any interruptions, because it includes all the heiliger tefillas that are being said at that moment, because the cry of the baby goes straight to Shemayim. And that's what it says, Kishoma kobichi. It says in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk it tells us, Choneni Hashem. Hashem, David HaMelech is saying, please be gracious to me, ki umlal oni, because I am unfortunate, because I have problems. But umlal stands for ani mol, because I have a bris. So Hashem, because I have that covenant, I have that sign of the covenant on me, please have rachmonis on me. And then right afterwards it says, Kishoma Hashem kol b'chi, Hashem listens to my tefillah. So the Klei Yaakov puts it together, and he says, anybody at a bris should daven, because Kishoma Hashem kol b'chi. It's not a bad idea. Next time you go to a bris, and there's no specific tefillah, and we all have challenges. Nobody gets away scot-free. We're all in Golos, no matter where you live. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues and challenges. You go to a bris the next time when that baby cries out, that's when you daven. And one more thing we learned from the Klei Yaakov. Very, very important. Rav lechem soive sahar azeh penu lochem tzifoina. The Pasuk tells us in Dvarim Beis Pasuk Gimel. It's enough. You are around this mountain enough. Go north. Zok the Klei Yaakov, a genius pshat. Tzifoina doesn't only mean north. Tzofon means hidden. Tzofon means hidden, and he writes the Inyan Hatzfona, he says, Nira, Shem Yimtu HaYisraeli Eza Hatzlocha, you have Hatzlocha, keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody the great business you have. Don't tell anybody the great nachas you have from your kids. Don't tell anybody the great marriage you have. It only causes ayin hara. I always say, if anything good happens to you, don't tell it to anybody. There's no guarantee anybody will be happy for you, except one person, your mother. Nobody else. Not your brother-in-law, not your sister-in-law, nobody. Your mother will be happy for you. Keep it quiet. And he says, why is it? He says, we find Klal Yisrael, so many people, everybody who has 100 has to show that he has 200. Why do you have to show everybody? Penu lochem tzafoino. Keep everything hidden. Thank Hashem. You have to thank Hashem for everything that you have. So from the Klei Yaakov, we learned, first of all, that you need exercise. And second of all, you should daven during a bris. And third of all, keep a low profile. Now I want to tell you one of the greatest incidents that happened to us. Right? On the Charles Bridge. Everybody knows, if you go to Prague, there's a bridge called the Charles Bridge. It's not for traffic at all. Only people. There must be, without exaggeration, 10,000 people that cross that bridge every single day. You come on that bridge, and I told everybody, I don't want you to take your cameras, because you're going to see something that I want you to remember in your mind's eye. But no one should take a picture of it. Because it's a terrible, terrible, terrible Chilul Hashem. Now, if you never heard of this, you can just get a stomachache just from listening to this. There are many, many statues along this bridge. Tall, 20, 25 feet statues. Smack in the middle of the bridge is Oysa Ha'ish, Yoshka. Right on top of him, in a semicircle. Because of an incident that happened in 1639, a Yid was walking on that bridge and he saw that Yosel there. So he thought he was going to be a smart aleck and he spit at it. Or some say that he kicked at it. Yoshka. So what happened? It happened to be a government official saw him. Not only was this guy arrested, not only was he beaten, they almost started a pogrom. They almost killed out half the town. But then they made the Jews pay in gold. They had to put in gold right on top of this Yoshka, these words, which are still there today. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos, Malay Kolaritz Kavaydai. On top of that Yoshka, you could puke from it. So what happened during the Second World War? The Nazis, they knew that this was pure gold, so they robbed it. So after the war, the Prague government decided that's a landmark. We have to make the Jews do it again. Some didn't want that they should do it anymore. But they did it, they had to do it, so now it's gold-plated. But I showed the people something very interesting. Right? The Yid who made it, he couldn't do it. How could he do that? So if you look very closely with a telescope or binoculars, you can see that the Dalit in Kadosh is rounded. So technically, it doesn't say Kadosh, Kadosh. It says Karosh, Karosh. But, you know, for most people, obviously, you look afar, you see it's Kadosh, Kadosh. But, you know, I told all the people, you got to learn a great lesson from this. You know what? That happened hundreds of years ago, 1639. That Chilul Hashem is still there today. So every Yid that's walking, right? Every guy that sees it, Kadosh, Kadosh, on top of a Yoshka. Because one guy thought he was a smart aleck. When a person makes a Chilul Hashem, he has to realize that it could be for generations that people won't forget about it. A Chilul Hashem, especially when you're dealing with Goyim, and they know this is supposed to be the chosen people, and you do something that's dishonest, or you say something that's off color, makes an impression and people could remember it forever. Today with communication, a person could do something and make a Chilul Hashem, in 10 minutes it's all over. Our whole world will know about it in 10 minutes. with communication the way it is today. So a person has a murder to kachrayas. When you're driving, whether you're double parking, or you're dealing with another fellow, everything that you do and say, you have to be so careful. So of course, so what did we do? So we stood underneath that sign. Nobody took out their cameras. But we had two guys that played music, Yeshua Kessin, the whole world's going to hear about his music eventually, and Rashi Shapiro. And we started dancing, and we started singing. I'm telling you, we started singing, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, and we had this great dance on this bridge, Am Yisrael Chai. There were so many people that started joining us. There's one guy, I don't know where he got his yarmulke from. I thought he was a guy. He takes out a yarmulke, you know, from his pocket and plants it on his head. And he ended up in shul that Friday night, if you remember. He came to shul because of that song. Because we were proud. We're going to show that we're not intimidated by that Chil Hashem. We're proud that we're Yidden. Am Yisrael Chai. I want to tell you two more things. Then we'll end with a great story and a great chazal. There was another place that we went that literally shook us to the core. And a great lesson can be learned from going to a place like this. There's a concentration camp called Theresienstadt. Now some of you may know that Theresienstadt was that concentration camp that they showed the Red Cross and they showed all the Americans that came to Germany and to those areas. They showed them, look, you see, the people are doing fine here. That was the place where why the world was fooled. They didn't take them to Auschwitz. They didn't take them to Majdanek or to Treblinka or all these other places. They took them to Theresienstadt because over there they had the people put on plays and they had people playing soccer. And so, you know, so everybody looked like they were having a great time. So that was the place of deception. But thousands of Yidden lost their lives there and tens of thousands of Yidden were transferred from there to other terrible camps. So in there, between two buildings, in a basement, Yidden built a shul. What does it mean that they built a shul? They took a room, and there was a fellow. His name was Asher Berliner. He was a Malamed Tinoikes. He was a Rebbe, but he was a great artist. And in this room, which was between two buildings, in a basement, this guy drew magnificent psukim where people would come to daven. And the psukim over there was Habet Mishamayim Re'ei. You know, Lag Vakelas Bagoyim, you can see today over there the beautiful artwork. The Germans covered it up. They painted it after the war. But now the paint is peeling so you can see it. And we all went there and we davened. And we danced and we cried. To be in that shul, to know that these are people that davened here, maybe it was the last Meiriv they ever davened in their lives. And they saw these psukim, habayit mishamayim ra'ei, and again we sang it, and holding each other, crying, Hashem, you know, lag v'kelas bagoyim, nechshavnu katzoin la'tevach. They thought that we are like sheep, that they shechted us. La'aroig la'abed, v'makal l'cherpa. Terrible, terrible. But when you're in that place, and you realize people were meisa nefesh, I told them something that we have to remember. We have to remember about all those people who went through the concentration camp, and Rachmana Litzlan, all these people throughout the world today who are challenged with difficult challenges. You know, it says like this. When Yankov was about to go to see Yosef, he hadn't seen him for 22 years. He was so thrilled, he was so excited. Vayom Yisrael. Yisrael says in Bereshis Mem Hei Pasuk Kof Ches, Rav, it's so great. Oy Yosef ben Ichoy, my son is living. El Chavarena B'Terna Momos. I want to go see him before I die. So how does the Pasuk say, Vayom Yisrael, Yaakov said, Rav, it's so great, I'm so happy. That's not how the Medrash understands it. Vayom Yisrael, Rav. Yaakov said, Rav, my son is greater than me. Rav, koicha shay Yosef b'ni. Yosef is greater than me. Kama tzores he gil, look how much tzores he had in life. Vadayinu oimei b'tzidkoi. And still he's a tzaddik. And I said to the people, let's look at these walls. And let's imagine how these people davened many times was their last tefillah. Rav, these people are greater than us. Baruch Hashem, we have shuls, we have kehilos, we can have a sima shas. You got 75,000 people across the country. Rav, when you go to a shul and you see an almana, and she comes and she's davening. You come and you see a yosem and he's saying kaddish and he goes back to yeshiva and he's learning. Or you see somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, a million times over, somebody lost a child, and they still go to the daf, and they're still learning. Rav, they're greater than us, those people. You have to respect them and be in awe of these people who have such difficult challenges in life. That's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. Rav, my son Yosef is greater than me. You know why? Because he has difficulty and he overcomes it. And he's still davening and he's still learning. You take a look at these kids in the elite school. You watch that kid putting on tefillin. That's the one who's great. This boy right over there, right in the first row. The camera should show all of them. They're greater than our kids. You know why? Because our kids have parents who can teach them about tefillin. Who can take them to Eretz Yisrael to make a bar mitzvah. What did these kids have? Nothing. But they put on tefillin. They're wearing yarmulkes. They make brachas. And they're going to raise their children to be elach kids. That's what it's all about. That's how you look at these children. That's how you look at anybody in your neighborhood that's got challenges. Not that they're unfortunate. Of course, they're unfortunate because whatever happened, but they're greater people than us. You look at them with covet. You look at them with dignity. You look at them with respect. I want to talk about one more person. And then we'll review and end with a great story. One more person that most of you certainly never even heard of. Maybe some heard about him. Rabbi Weiser, who's in Chinuch, heard about him. But otherwise, most people wouldn't know him. This was a man. His name was Rabbi Shmuel, Dr. Leo Deutschlander. You know who he was? He was the right-hand man of Sarah Schneer. He was a man, a young man. Nebuch, when he was 5 years old, he became a Yosem. His father died. When he was 7 years old, his mother died. And yet he raised himself. Well, he lived by the Bieberfeld family. And he elevated himself. He became a tremendous machanach. He became a tremendous teacher, a great pedagogue. To the point when there was a Knessia Gedola. All the Gedola, when he walked into the room, the whole dais and the whole crowd stood up for him. That's how he was recognized, what kind of great person he was. And I had heard about him, because when I studied about Sarah Schneer, I heard about him. I didn't know where he was buried. Dr. Schneer Lyman told me he's buried right next to the Chortuba Rebbe around where in Vienna. Right next to the Chortuba Rebbe. So I took everybody there. That was the last place we were in Vienna. And I told everybody, this is the man. Listen to this amazing story about him. He was involved in an organization called Keren HaTorah that the Agudas Yisrael started. Keren HaTorah was an organization that gave money to many schools. He was in charge of it. And listen to what he said. He said, I will not give money to any Beis Yaakov school, although he taught them how to teach, he taught them curriculum and methodology, unless every school, boy, we should learn this lesson today, unless every school takes in a few Yosemim, and they only have to pay half tuition. In other words, he felt schools have to be inclusive, not exclusive. In elite high school, it's inclusive, taking anybody. Not like some of the other schools we know that are very exclusive, and how many parents complain about that? A school has to be inclusive. So he said, you want to get money from Keren HaTorah? You got to take in Yosemim, and they should pay only half tuition. Because he was sensitive to what a Yosem has to go through, what an orphan has to go through. So in Baranovich, many of you know, Rabbi Ochanan was the Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Yisrael Yankov Lubchansky, he was the Mashgiach, a great, great tzaddik. Nebuch, he had no children. But he raised a Yosem, a Yosema in his house. A little genius of a girl. This little girl's name was Vichna Eisen. So he raised this girl, Vichna Eisen, and when he heard about Sarah Schneer Seminary, he wanted to send her to the seminary, but he couldn't, because he couldn't even pay half the tuition. So he goes to Rabbi Chanan, he says, Rabbi Chanan, maybe you could do me a favor, maybe you could get my, you know, the daughter, this child that I'm raising, maybe you could get her into the school. So Rabbi Chanan called Dr. Deutschlander, and she was led into the school on a full scholarship. This Vichna Eisen, some of you may know, became one of the prime students of Sarah Schneer. She came to America and she married Rabbi Baruch Kaplan. This is Vichna Kaplan. So all the Beis Yaakovs and all the guys that ever learned in a kollel who married girls that studied in the Beis Yaakov schools, all we all owe, not only Vichna Kaplan, but we all Dr. Deutschlander. And that's what I told everybody standing at this kever. All those that are looking for shidduchim, all those that are grateful for the wonderful education that we've given to our girls and the girls who inspire the husbands to learn it, to be Erlich HaYidin, it all starts with Dr. Deutschlander. So who knows if he didn't become that Yosem. So he should be able to have that sensitivity to bring that Yosema into the school that would have an influence on thousands and thousands of young women and of course on their husbands. And that's what you learn when you go to these places. You learn about the Gedolim, and you learn that you have to feel a responsibility, just like Rashi taught us, Harayfei L'Shvuri Lev, got to open up your heart to those that have less than you. You have to learn to the last minute. Bittul Torah is a terrible Aveira. That's what Rav Palm told us. Rashi learned to the last minute of his life as long as he could. Let's remember what Rav Shom Shon Fol Hirsch taught us. Kibud Av V'Em is in the Bein Adam L'Mokim, because that's what parenting is all about, bringing us back to the Mesorah. Let's be kosher Erlach HaYidin. Not everybody has to die on December 31st, but you know what I mean. To be Erlach. Let's remember that you can marry a girl that's older than you. Remember our children that are going out, and grandchildren that are going out. That's the way that it can be. It can be acceptable. It's a wonderful thing. Let's remember, Lo Yomus Ki Yechel, as Rav Freifeld taught us. Lo Yomus, let's not live a life of death. Ki Yechel, while we are alive, everybody should accomplish. Let's remember the Klal Yochor. Obviously getting exercise, davening by a bris, keeping everything that you have. Keep that Hatzlocha, keep it to yourself. Don't go brag about it. Chas V'Shalom shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. That Kadosh teaches us, if somebody makes Chas V'Shalom a terrible Chilul Hashem, it could be remembered for years. And let's remember, Rav. That's what Yankov said. Rav Lachem. Rav Koichi Shel Yosef, the Medrash tells us. Rav, Yosef was greater because he had challenges and he was still Oymed B'Tzidkoi. And look what Dr. Deutschlander did. He took those people that were in a sense Yisayimim. And these kids in elite high school, in a sense, they're spiritual Yisayimim. Because they have no parents that can teach them anything. So what Dr. Deutschlander did, that sensitivity, that's what we can all do. And I want to make all of you an offer tonight. Tonight, as you know, as we said before, this is a fundraiser. And I've brought a gift for every single one of you. I mean, it's contingent on something, of course. I have a dear son-in-law, his name is Hananya Kramer. He made these three CDs, three interactive CD-ROMs, about this trip. Every word that I said tonight is all on these three CDs, plus literally hours and hours of more. Anyone who makes out a check tonight to Keren Tiferes Yisrael outside or in the webcast, wherever you have somebody out there, anybody who makes a check, $100 or more will get this free. You'll be able to spend literally hours and hours learning about the Gedolim of the past. So for those in the areas that are not here, I just want to tell you, you can either call and order it, 212-219-3944. That's 212-219-3944. If you want to write, you can write to Keren Tiferes Yisrael at 45 White Street, just like the color, White, W-H-I-T-E Street, New York 10013. Again, 45 White Street, Keren Tiferes Yisrael. A check of $100 or more will get you this. And if you want to email yehudabraun@yahoo.com, Yehuda, Y-E-H-U-D-A, Braun, B-R-A-U-N, @yahoo.com. Again, this is available. Just want to end with one more story and a great thought. One of the places that we really wanted to go, I was able to go another year, but not this particular year, we wanted to go to Warsaw. We wanted to go to Warsaw to be by the kever of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. One of the things that I wanted to tell people about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was that his house was a Reshus HaRabim. His house was public property. What does that mean? People on Neim used to come in. Everybody would come in. And he would give out all his money. As a matter of fact, after a while, the community in Brisk didn't even give him his salary. They gave it to his wife. Because all the Aniyim, all the poor people knew what day he was getting his salary. They would all come in and he would dish out all the money. He had nothing for himself. And they would hang up signs, you know, like in Landau's. You know, here in Brooklyn, everybody knows Landau's. Right? It's public property. You know, this one is coming, this one is speaking, this one's a Leviah. Everything that's going on is all on the walls in Landau, right? That's how it was by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in his house. It was a free-for-all. So I wanted to talk about that because we all know Rav Chaim's genius in learning, but we didn't know his big chesed and his breakkite. So I wanted to tell people about, you know, there's somebody like that around here today. Not here, he's in England. His name is Jackie Levinson. He lives in Stamford Hill in England. So in Stamford Hill, I was once in his house. You come into his house, you walk into the kitchen, his wife is cooking in this huge institutional pot because the whole house is filled with chairs, benches, and beds. Because every Meshulah from Eretz Yisrael comes there, they park themselves for weeks and months, and everybody is there. A whole day they sit there and learn, they sleep, they eat, or whatever, at night they go collecting. It's mamash a free-for-all. So I once heard that one night, a whole bunch of guys were sitting around together at the table, all eating supper, and Jackie Levinson was there. Nobody knows anybody else. So one guy says to another guy, says, how long are you here? He says, I'm here 3 days. Another guy says, how long are you here? He says, I'm here 4 months. One guy turns to Jackie Levinson, he doesn't know who he is. He says, how long are you here? He says, I'm here 30 years. He says, that's already a chutzpah. So I just want to end just with this great thought. And this is a thought that I once heard from Rav Matasiel Solomon. Beautiful, beautiful thought. The Medrash tells us in Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Ches, Omer Rabbi Akiva, Nim Shulu Yisrael La'oif. Klal Yisrael is like a bird. Maho Oif Azeh Enu Pireach.
V'likinafayim, just like a bird cannot fly without wings, kach Yisrael and Yecholim Masa is dovar chutz mizikneyem. Klal Yisrael cannot do anything without its gedolim. So Rav Matisyahu asked, if a bird wants to get from one place to the other, it can putter, it can walk. What is the Medrash telling us, that a bird can't get any place without wings? He says, no, but look at the language of the Medrash. Look at the language of the Medrash. And the language of the Medrash is, Ma ha'oif hazeh eni poireyach. Poireyach means to soar. Poireyach means to blossom like a flower. Oh, if a bird wants to get from one place to the other, it can walk. But if it wants to soar and reach the highest heights, oh, it can't do it without wings. Same thing with us. If we want to reach the highest heights, we can't do it without the Gedolim. This school, Elite High School, was built on Gedolim. You know why? Because Rabbi Braun had an unusual idea. He wanted to start a school where the only rule is you got to wear a yarmulke, nothing else. So he had to go to the Gedolim. And the greatest people in Eretz Yisrael said, Rabbi Yehuda Leib, that's the way you got to do it. Don't force these kids with anything because they'll leave. But you have the right idea. So this school was built. And all of us in our lives, every one of us has to have a Rav, a Rebbe, or a Rosh Hashiva that we have a connection to. And that's how we have a connection to Har Sinai. Hashem should help that all of us should be inspired by this great school. All of us should be able to support it. And all of us should be able to learn these lessons of the Gedolim, of the past, absorb it in the present, to prepare for our future. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening.